All right, welcome in everyone to another deep dive here. Today we're going to be looking into a case. It's a maritime law case, really interesting, really kind of sad too. It's Tello v. Royal Caribbean Cruises, LTD.
Oh, this is a fascinating one.
Yeah, we're going to be looking at, you know, this this lawsuit. Somebody died on a cruise ship.
Right.
And it's all about, you know, how far does the responsibility of the cruise line go?
Yeah.
You know, what do they have to do to keep their passengers safe? I think, you know, for our listeners, especially the law students out there,
yeah,
this is going to be a great kind of case study in negligence and duty of care. And we'll be looking at vicarious liability. So, you know, really kind of getting into some meaty legal concepts.
Yeah. And I think what's so interesting about maritime law is you get these kind of unique situations that you might not see on land.
Oh, yeah.
And it really tests, you know, where are the boundaries of liability?
Right. Exactly. So to kind of kick things off, I mean, think about this, right? How far should a cruise line have to go to keep somebody safe? Especially when, you know, alcohol might be involved.
Right, right. Because you're in this environment where it's like a party atmosphere. People are letting loose. They're on vacation.
They're on vacation.
But it's still, you know, a business. It's still a place where there are rules and regulations and,
yeah,
and responsibilities.
And I think that's really what this case kind of boils down to is,
yeah,
where, you know, where's that line?
Exactly.
So let's get into the actual story here. So back in 2011... January 2011, we've got Margarita Tello and her son, Jose Miguel Pietri Tello, 21 years old.
Okay.
They're on a cruise. They're on Royal Caribbean's The Liberty of the Seas.
Okay. Sounds like a fun vacation.
Sounds like a great time.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're going, they're having a good time. But then things take a really bad turn on January 4th.
Mm-hmm.
So Jose and his friends are at one of the bars on the ship.
Yeah.
And from what we understand, he's served a lot of alcohol, enough to become, you know, pretty intoxicated.
Okay.
And that right there, I mean, that's already kind of raising some flags legally.
Right away. I mean, it makes you wonder, was there over-serving going on?
Yeah, yeah.
Should the cruise line have been monitoring his intake more carefully? You know, did they have a duty to maybe cut him off?
Cut him off, absolutely.
At some point. So, yeah, that's a big question right from the start.
Big question. So it's about 3 a.m., Jose says goodnight to his friends. He leaves the bar. And this is where, you know, things get even more sad. He's walking around. He's intoxicated. He's disoriented. He's trying to get back into, you know, part of the ship. And he finds some of the doors are locked.
Oh, no.
So he tries to climb this service ladder and he falls overboard.
That is awful. And the fact that he was trying to get back in and the doors were locked, It makes you think about the security measures on the ship.
Yeah.
Were they adequate?
Yeah.
Should there have been, you know, better access, especially late at night?
Right, right. So, I mean, just a horrible situation.
Yeah.
And then it gets even worse.
Okay.
There's a delay in contacting the Belize Coast Guard.
Oh, wow.
And then to add insult to injury, to add to Margarita's, you know, unimaginable pain at this point, a ship official tells her that her son committed suicide.
Oh, my goodness.
So, you know, very upsetting, especially given, you know, her religious beliefs.
I can't even imagine what she was going through at that point.
Right. It's just a horrible, horrible tragedy all around. So as you might expect, she sues Royal Caribbean, and she makes several legal claims.
Yeah.
She claims negligence, negligent hiring of the staff, intentional and negligent infliction of emotional distress, and then this idea of respondent superior liability.
Okay, so a lot of different legal avenues she's pursuing here. A
lot of different avenues,
yeah.
And as is pretty standard in these cases, Royal Caribbean comes back and says, you know what?
Yeah.
We want this whole case dismissed.
Right. A motion to dismiss. It's basically saying, look, even if everything she's saying is true, legally, there's no case here.
Exactly.
Shouldn't even go to trial.
Exactly. So let's break down these legal arguments a little bit and see what the court actually decided.
Yeah. Let's get into the weeds a little bit.
Let's get into it. So start with negligence, the big one. And this is where maritime law gets a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
So in maritime law, the standard is reasonable care under the circumstances.
Okay. Reasonable care.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for the law students out there, how does that compare to like regular everyday negligence?
That's a great question.
Is it a higher bar? Is it different in some way because it's maritime law?
I mean, it's kind of similar, right? Like, you have to act reasonably, but some experts say that, you know, given the nature of a cruise ship, it could be seen as like a slightly higher duty of care.
Right. Because you're out on the open water, you're kind of in a confined space. You are, to some extent, at the mercy of the cruise line for your safety.
Yeah.
It's not like you can just walk off if something goes wrong.
Exactly, exactly. So in this case, what did Margarita say Royal Caribbean did that was negligent?
Okay, so her argument was basically that they were negligent in several ways. She said they overserved Jose. They didn't help him when he was clearly intoxicated. There were delays in searching for him when he went overboard.
Right.
And they weren't monitoring the security cameras closely enough.
Yeah.
Which she argued could have alerted them to his situation sooner.
Right, right. I mean, all of those together paint a pretty, you know, concerning picture.
It does. It does.
So did the court dismiss the negligence claim?
No, they didn't. And this is a key point for anyone studying law.
Hmm.
A motion to dismiss doesn't mean the court is saying Royal Caribbean wasn't negligent.
Right.
It just means that Margarita presented enough facts that if they were proven true, could lead to a finding of negligence.
Okay.
So they're saying, okay, this is plausible. We need to investigate this further.
It needs to go to trial, essentially.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
So that part of the case continues. What about negligent hiring?
Okay. So negligent hiring, that's where you're arguing the company was careless in who they hired or who they kept employed, and that led to the harm. So with this one, to win, you usually have to show that the employer knew or should have known that an employee was unfit for their job.
Yeah.
And that this unfitness caused the harm.
Okay.
So in this case, Margarita didn't give enough specific facts to back that up. She didn't say, like, oh, these bartenders had a history of overserving,
or yeah,
Royal Caribbean knew they were bad at their jobs. So because of that lack of specifics, that claim was dismissed.
Well, you need evidence.
You need the evidence.
You need the evidence. So, okay, so negligent hiring's out, negligence is still in. What about respondent superior?
Ah, respondent superior. This is a really important legal concept. It's often called vicarious liability.
Yeah.
And basically, it means the employer can be held responsible for the screw-ups of their employees.
Their screw-ups, yeah, if it happens while they're on the job.
Exactly, exactly. If they're acting within the scope of their employment.
Mm.
So in this case, the bartenders, the crew members, they were all acting as employees of Royal Caribbean. And since the court said the negligence claim against Royal Caribbean itself was plausible, they also said, okay, well, it's also plausible that Royal Caribbean could be held responsible for what their employees did.
Right.
It's just kind of like they're the boss. They're responsible for their team.
Exactly. So that claim survives as well.
That one stays alive.
Yeah. Okay, what about the emotional distress claims? There were two, right? Negligent and intentional infliction of emotional distress.
Right. And this is where state law comes into play, which can be a little tricky in maritime cases.
Yeah.
But this case was in Florida, and Florida has this thing called the impact rule for negligent infliction of emotional distress.
Impact rule. Okay, what's that?
So basically, to win on this claim, you have to have suffered a direct physical impact yourself or some physical sign of emotional distress because of the negligence.
Okay.
Now, Margarita, she only claimed mental and emotional suffering, which, I mean, is understandable.
Yeah.
But she wasn't physically hurt. And she didn't directly witness the actual event. So because of that impact rule in Florida, this claim got dismissed.
So even though, you know, she's going through this unimaginable loss and grief because it wasn't a direct physical impact on her.
Right. Florida has a very strict rule about this.
It doesn't count. Wow.
Yeah, it's a high bar to clear. And then intentional infliction of emotional distress, that's even harder to prove.
Okay.
You have to show the defendant's conduct was just outrageous, like beyond all bounds of decency.
Like so bad.
Yeah, like shockingly bad. And while the captain saying Jose committed suicide was awful,
yeah,
the court said it didn't rise to that level of outrageousness.
Wow.
So both of those emotional distress claims were dismissed.
So far we've got negligence and respondent superior are still in play.
Those are the two that survived.
But it's really important, as we said, that surviving this motion to dismiss doesn't automatically mean Royal Caribbean is guilty.
Right. This is just the first hurdle.
Yeah.
This is just saying, okay, there's enough here for this case to move forward.
Right.
Now comes the hard part of proving those claims.
Exactly. Gathering evidence, going to trial, all of that. So let's step back a little bit.
Yeah.
Big picture. Why is this case so important? What can our listeners, the future lawyers of the world, learn from this?
I think this case really shows how courts look at the duties of cruise ship operators. Mm-hmm. And it's a little different than businesses on land.
Right.
Cruise ships, they have so much control over the environment.
Yeah.
They have a real responsibility to keep their passengers safe, especially in situations like this where alcohol is involved.
Right, right. So practically speaking, what are some takeaways?
Okay, so if you're going to be a lawyer, remember this.
Yeah.
When you're writing a complaint, be specific.
Be specific.
Especially with negligence. Don't just say they were negligent. You have to spell out exactly what they did wrong.
Right.
Yeah. And how it caused the harm. Like in this case, if Margarita had given more specific examples of how Royal Caribbean failed in hiring or supervising their staff, mm-hmm. maybe that claim would have survived.
Yeah, yeah. Facts matter.
Facts matter. And remember the difference between vicarious liability and direct liability.
Right. Respondent superior versus something like negligent hiring.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Different evidence, different arguments.
Right. Anything else?
Oh, and don't forget about state laws. Like that impact rule in Florida really affected the emotional distress claims.
That was a big one.
Yeah. Sometimes state law can sneak in and make a big difference in a federal maritime case.
So the court's message here is basically cruise lines have a responsibility, but they're not automatically liable for everything.
Right.
It has to be proven.
It has to be proven.
Right. All right. Well, this has been a really fascinating deep dive.
It has.
We've looked at this tragic case, Tel Aviv Royal Caribbean, really got into negligence, reasonable care, the dismissal of some claims, the survival of others, vicarious liability. It's been a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot to unpack.
Yeah.
But it's all about the nuances of maritime law and the cruise industry.
Exactly. So here's a final thought for all of you to consider. We talked about how cruise ships are unique, right? They're like little floating cities. Mm-hmm. Alcohol's everywhere. It's a party atmosphere, but it's still a controlled environment.
Yeah.
So given all that, how far should a company have to go to protect passengers from themselves?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Because on one hand, you want people to have fun.
Yeah.
Enjoy their vacation. But on the other hand, you have to keep them safe.
Where's that line?
Where's that line? It's a really tricky balance.
It really is. It really is.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have for this deep dive. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
See you next time.